All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for this avenue that we have to get together and fellowship and pray and learn out of the word. And Father, we just praise you for all that's accomplished tonight. We ask, Lord, that we be led, that you help us to be led by your spirit tonight. And Lord, we just praise you beforehand of all the great testimonies that's going to come forth after prayer tonight. And we thank you for it, Father. We just praise you that we know that we have an open heaven. And the power of God is evident because we're all in one accord. And I just thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for knitting our hearts together in that one accord. And then pulling it tight, Lord. And I praise you for giving us that power of the Holy Spirit to defeat the old man, that old self-life that has hindered us so much during the years. But Lord, we know that we can allow you. If we allow you, you'll do it in us. You'll get rid of that old self-life for us, Lord. And all we have to do is just believe it's being done. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish through us tonight. In Jesus' name. Anoint everybody here, Lord, to speak the things that you would have them to speak, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for an awesome time. And Lord, I ask also that the gifts be in operation tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for blessing this great group of brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, David, go ahead.
Well, I'm a little confused about something. And a while ago, it wasn't even a while ago, it wasn't that long ago, that I found out that I had tomorrow off and I was going to have a three day weekend. And I thought it was a perfect time to go visit UBM, and like I'm all excited about it. And well, today we has got and threw quarters and got four tails, and I was really confused. I was like, I was really confused because I didn't know what's going on. And David sent an email that a lot of gas stations will be closed this week. There'll be gas stations out of gas. And I don't know. And I was like, but I still would really love to go. And I don't know if that could be the enemy trying not to have us go. And I mean, if you guys have some thoughts on that,
well, let's just pray about it, okay?
All right.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking you to give David clarity in this situation about coming to UBM this weekend. Lord, he's been wanting to come. Him and Lynn have been wanting to come. And we ask, Lord, if there's a physical reason why or spiritual reason why, that you would make it known to David. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, give him a dream, a vision, but a sure word, Lord, that they can either go or not go. And if they're not going, Lord, a reason why. So that there won't be any confusion. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, confusion, I bind you up and cast you out in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for giving him clarity in this issue. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? Go ahead. Yeah, Judy.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we had to come and lift up our brother. And Lord, I know sometimes it's not always your ways are not always clear to us. So we just ask God that you would give David complete peace as he just rests in you and wait for you to make things known unto him. We cast down the spirits of witchcraft and confusion of the enemy. We just bind up and cast off of him all doubt and uncertainty, condemnation, and any attacks coming from the enemy to get him out of the rest, he and Alina both. And we pray your blessing on them, Father. And if, Lord, I just pray that, you know, if you are showing him, know that he's okay with that, that there's a reason that he doesn't fully understand, but it will be made known to him. And if it's yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to make that known unto him with all certainty, and there won't be any anxiety about it, won't be any hesitation. It'll go, and it'll be a go, and you'll provide for them gas and whatever they may need. So we put this all in your hand, and we thank you, Lord, that it's done either way. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your answer. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Look for it. It's coming. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Missy, go ahead.
I just saw that my mom sent me an email about my great uncle, Orvin. He's 91. he had a stroke 2 weeks ago. And he's in rehab, and they want to keep him another week. And he's doing somewhat better. He's beginning to speak again. And I think he had a stroke before. I may be wrong. I think he did years ago. How long ago? I'm not sure. But anyway, and they know he's not going to do good at a nursing home. So when they'll send him home after the rehab, and which will be a lot for the family and my aunt, my great aunt. And I just want to pray for him. Father, like my mom said, he's lived a long life, but Lord, I just ask you, I've prayed for him before and Anna May, you know, gosh, a year ago or more, neither of them were doing too good. And Lord, I just prayed, Lord, that you would keep them here until they're ready to go with you, to make sure that they're repentant. And they both are Christians. But I don't know. I don't know what exactly that. I don't know them well enough. I mean, they seem like very pleasant people, you know. I don't know them real well, but Lord, you know their hearts, you know where they're at. And Lord, their one granddaughter's supposed to get married in September. And Lord willing, Lord, we ask that he be able to go to Abby's wedding, Lord. And if not, Lord, if it's his time to go, then amen. But we just ask you that he not go, Lord, until he's ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And then I'd also like to share a praise report. My daughter-in-law, Brooke, had taken a course for children with learning disabilities. Most schools are requiring now a teacher be certified to deal with kids that have learning disabilities and that kind of thing. And she had taken it twice before and just failed it twice. And Brooke's pretty smart. But anyway, so I sensed that she was going to be taking it soon. I knew it was the Lord that put it on my heart to pray for her about this. And I know I was just praying for her. It was either yesterday or today. And I'm like, Lord, I know you really would love your perfect will is for her to stay home with Blake. But Lord, could you at least you know, so that she feels better, at least have her pass this test, even if she doesn't end up getting to go out into the job world or whatever. Lord, I know you're going to take care of things, you know. And that was kind of like my prayer, you know. And she texted me earlier, and she said, I'm going to take my test in 10 minutes. And she says, can you say a prayer? You know, and I was just like, cool, you know, I'm like, wow, Lord. And I was just, so I said that I would. And so then I sat down and I started to read In Faith for All Things. And the very first verse, right where I left off, the verse that starts off with right away, it says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, for my Father who is in heaven. I was like, yes, I know she's going to pass, you know. Anyway, so she was all excited. She says, thank you, God. She says, he was with me all the way. And I'm like, yes, he was. And she was like, I'm so excited. I was so excited for her. I wish I could give her a hug. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Brooke and encouraging us both. And so, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Testimony, praise report, prayer request. Yeah, Geneva.
I just wanted to ask for prayer. My mom is trying to, me and Isaac are trying to get her down here to Florida. So that way when I have this baby, she can be here and watch the baby for like 2 or 3 hours before I go to work for a little bit. And thank God for this job. I think I said this before, but like my hours are really good. So, excuse me, when I come home, I end up, I usually get home around 2. So, and I don't usually leave till 10. So I get, back pretty quick. So thank God for that. But, I need mom's help. Me and Morgan are kind of talking about it and trying to figure out, and we're believing too that Morgan's going to get a really good job to where I don't even have to work anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And I can be a stay-at-home mom. but in the meantime, you know, it'd be nice to have mom down here. And I think it'd also be good for mom, you know, be able to be with her grandchild. So right now we're kind of in a finagle of trying to find a place because the rent here is so expensive. And, you know, because of the market and everything right now, it's like all the places are taken. And so I just want to pray and believe. If everyone can pray and believe. I talked to my landlord today and she said she made quite a few phone calls and she's been reaching out to a bunch of people. And I just pray that something pops up and it's perfect for mom because mom can't really afford a whole bunch. And she works at Walmart and they're going to transfer her down here. So it's really just finding a place that we need. And if we could just pray that the Lord would find her the right place and that everything falls into place as it should, that would be awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we lift up Geneva's mother. Lord, you have a special place right close to Geneva for her. And Father, I ask and I pray that you make it available and that you would show the real estate agent or whoever it is that they're using down there or where it is and that it's economical for her, enough for her to move there. And Lord, we thank you because we know that you perform miracles every day. And this would be a miracle. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Geneva's mom. So she can be down there to help with the child. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that Ma or Mimi or Grandma or ever what she's going to be called is going to be right there with us or with him, the cowboy, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
It's done, girl.
Maybe cowgirl. Who knows?
Could be.
No, thank you, Jesus. No, I'll be happy with whatever God blesses me with. It's going to be a child of the Lord. Regardless.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Hey, Claire. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or testimony? Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Last week, I think I shared somewhere along the line about how healthy Mika is. And there's a trial currently for this little child. And she actually said to me on, I think it was yesterday afternoon, she said to me, do you think this is because you shared my testimony? She says, do you think this is maybe an attack? And I said, yeah, I really think that's maybe what this is. And so this morning I was getting ready and I called her into my room and I almost didn't, I had this thought that I should never share anything about my children again. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, no, no, what did Paul and or Peter and John do? And so I chatted with her about that portion in Acts where they, you know, they preached the good news and then the Sanhedrin threw them in to the prison and then they came out and they preached again. And they said, we're never going to stop preaching. And I said to her, what would make more sense for mommy to protect you by never ever sharing what God's done in your life, or we just walking boldly and confessing that all the good that he's done in your life? And she said, well, we're going to have to do that. So I would like all of you to stand in faith with me and my daughter for complete healing and for joy in tribulation and for a supernatural peace to descend in my child's heart, which I think is already there, but I'm just affirming it and praising God at the same time, that this will be quick and it will build our faith and that the enemy's arrows fall at our feet and do not pierce us because we have our armor on. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We hook our faith up with Claire and company, and we believe everything she prayed is coming to pass, and there's going to be joy and peace no matter what around them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, glory to God. Amen. I can't wait to get them kids in the back of that truck on the little trailer we got back there.
It's going to be so fun. I hope there's space for me.
It's going to be fun. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Amen. You know, I've got a little bit of a testimony since I've been here. I've been able to be with my great grandson and my grandsons, Nate and June. And it's just been awesome. Yesterday, I bought 3 water pistols, and me and Hayes and Tiffany, his mom, we all had us a water fight, which was good. And it was awesome. We just laughed and had a good time outside all afternoon yesterday. And then went over to Nate and Jude. No, that was day before yesterday. Yesterday, I went over to Nate and Jude's, and we played basketball, and we played baseball, and we played soccer. They tried me out on everything. And then we went inside, and they had a room full of balloons already blown up. And so we hot balloons until we were sick of it. But we had an awesome time. I had an awesome time with my grandkids, and I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to do that. Amen. All right. Anybody else? And also, I got to see Austin's 2 girls. Adelie and Abigail too. I got to be with them for a day as well. So that was, I got to see all my grandkids just this time. Praise the Lord. It was awesome. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or praise report or prayer request? Well, okay. Anybody got anything, a question or anything? Yeah, Andrew.
I just got a little praise report. I started my vacation today, and today's Canada's birthday, but yesterday I came home from work and they opened all the barber shops, and I went and got a haircut, and like they were booked forever, and I just went in on offhand hoping I might get a chance to go in and get my haircut, and someone canceled, and I got my haircut yesterday. So that was like the first day, like there were some barber shops opening at midnight just to make up. I heard that some of them opened at midnight, and because they were capable of opening on the Wednesday night there, and so I got a haircut. The Lord took care of something that I didn't even ask him for. I was just thinking about it, that it'd be nice just to get a haircut today because I'm starting my vacation, and today's Canada Day. So anyway.
Barbershops, that scarce there in that area?
No, they've been closed for 3 months because of COVID.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. He got him a haircut. You look a lot better, Andrew. You don't look like a hippie from the 60s. Yeah, Julie, not Julie, Missy.
Just a tidbit of interesting information concerning COVID. There was a guy here in the Pittsburgh area that had gotten, I don't remember which one of the shots it was, but after he had gotten his second one, I don't remember how long it was after that, but he had gotten a blood clot and it killed him. And the doctors, I was shocked that the doctors said that it was from the shot. I was surprised. Merle said he was surprised too, because I know there's a lot of doctors that even if their jobs are threatened, you know, for speaking the truth of things that are going on and so on and so forth. So, it just comes to me now, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that more doctors speak up and that we just ask you, Lord, that these doctors that said that it was from the shot, that their jobs not be threatened in any way, and they do not lose their jobs for saying this. I don't know what the situation is, but I praise you, Lord, that they spoke up and spoke the truth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wake them up, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everybody. Good to see y'all. It's funny, Missy, you say that. There you are. Because we had to have somebody watch our chickens while we left. And so he's actually a cop. He was telling us that that like his police chief or something got the vaccine and blood clot, or aneurysm, got an aneurysm, you know. And so yeah, watch that stuff. Anyways, but I was just gonna say full praise report. So we had some clouds in Michigan coming in, and I seen them, and I was in the van, I was on my lunch break, and I said, well, maybe I should read them. I don't really mind clouds here and there. So I was like, well, I don't know, I don't really need them to. And I was like, you know what, I'll rebuke them anyway. And I said, Lord, open up the clouds for me in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, and I got to looking because it's getting gloomy. It was pretty much gloomy everywhere. And I looked outside, and I'm not kidding, the clouds broke up. And I even took a video and a picture because I remember Michael saying something. I said, you know what? I got to get this because it just popped in my head out of nowhere. So I'll show you that. I don't know if you can see this very well. So there's one little picture.
Yeah.
So now let me show you the little video. And it was coming my way. And I'm not kidding you. It, there's a, let's see, see that. Hang on.
So. Oh, boy.
Yeah. But you look, it started breaking and going away from me. But it was coming my way because I was watching. And I really mean that, man. So I was like, because when I think about it, it dawned me, oh, wait, I got my phone right here. Just take a picture, Isaac, because this has not, like, been the first time. This has really been happening. And, you know, and I believe it for everybody. Barry and Marilyn, y'all said these prayers, and I know it's going to come. So I hope that blesses y'all.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Yes, he is. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, everybody. I was thinking about what to say. Our financial position is getting worse at the work. I'm going to resign on Monday. I just need some wisdom from the Lord and agree with everybody. Agree with me for what to do next, if I must go on early retirement or I get another job, because it's not looking good.
Okay, you retiring, you say?
Lord, have to tell me if I'm going on early retirement or I must look for something else now.
Okay, well, Lord, give him clarity of thought in this, whatever you want him to do, whatever you have for him, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. I tell you what I do.
Hey, Joe, what did you say is going to happen on Monday?
I'm going to resign on Monday.
You're going to resign. Okay.
Yeah, it's just getting worse now with all this corruption and financial.
And they're still manipulating and taking from your.
Yeah, we're not getting anything this month. So I did get a blessing of somebody.
Wow. Well, amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding Joe to make decisions that you're putting in his heart, Lord, about employment. And I pray you bless him with that and give him peace. And we know something big's coming in favor of all of your children, Father, what you're about to do. So we just pray, Lord, your sovereignty, your provision, and whatever Joe needs, Father, that it's the provision's already there for him. And thank you, Lord, for giving him grace. And he's just going to have a knowing. Father, I thank you. Joe, you're just going to have a knowing about what to do, and you're going to have total peace about the decision you're making in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Let's ask the Lord, what? Hang on here just a second. Let's ask the Lord to show us when the tribulation starts. I told you last week when it was starting.
I know we were thinking, David mentioned September.
Yep.
Beginning of September. You said August.
August, yeah. What was his name? I think it was Dixon, Timothy, wasn't it?
Dixon. Missy?
Connie Bowers, Larry Bowers' what? Wife. Connie Bowers, the Lord gave her that word.
Oh, that was Connie Bowers, yeah.
This says for confirmation, we can get two witnesses.
Well, I remember that thing that Missy and Eve listened to. They said September, didn't they?
Yeah, he said the Feast of Trumpets or Feast of Tabernacles are basically the same thing.
Yeah,
in that time frame. So I've been expecting it for probably a couple years now since I found out about that Steve shared that with me. So it didn't surprise me, you know, when she said that's what the Lord told her.
Now, Feast of Tabernacles is when that's the, isn't that the rapture?
What?
Well, isn't that when when we're all caught up in the air, the tabernacles. Isn't that like what does that call that? Yeah, the tabernacles. That's when they build the tabernacle. At the end of 7 years, they break it down. Mm-hmm.
7 days.
On the eighth day,
they break it down. That's a Feast of Tabernacles, yeah.
Right. So tabernacles, that's what, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's my understanding that the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Trumpets are the same thing. They just, for some reason, call it something different. Two different things.
So we're looking at maybe the beginning of the celebration of the festival, which would start the beginning of the tribulation.
Right.
Okay. Because it is a 7 day thing.
Or the Feast of Booze, they call it sometimes too.
Yeah.
They live in these little booze which rip of their travel through the wilderness.
Right.
And so then at the end of the 7 days or the eighth day or whatever, I forget how that goes, they tear it down and they go home, which means we go home to the Lord, we go to heaven. That's the rapture then. And the trumpet thing to me totally makes sense because, you know, it starts off with the first trumpet, you know, the tribulation starts with the first trumpet being blown. So
there's also the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. They have to happen.
It's also what day?
I think you have the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. There's the first fruits, and then there's the after that in the summer, after the summer's over, there's a wheat harvest. I think it's after the summer, but anyways, it's the two different kind of harvests the Lord has too. There's the first fruits, which would be the bride, and you know, basically the first fruits in the kingdom, and like Jesus was a first fruit, and then after that, there's another harvest for the people that come in after that.
Yes.
The rest of the church. So I think we still have to see those harvests happen. That's part of it too. We'll see those things going on. So we should.
I'm not really sure how it relates to the barley and the wheat harvest. I'm not sure about that. It could be. Well,
that would be the beginning of your tribulation too, because you're going to have a first fruits. The first fruits is going to be part of the beginning of the tribulation.
Yeah, it's going to be before the tribulation starts, the anointing of the man child, which is the first fruits, would be before the tribulation. And then the bride would be anointed also. And then the tribulation starts and the man child takes the bride into the wilderness.
And then there's going to be a second harvest after that too, but it won't be the first fruits. It'll be the next harvest.
It'll be second fruits.
Second fruits.
There'll be another a set of man childs coming out of the bride later on as they mature.
Right. So we have all that coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, but that'll be during the tribulation.
Yes.
Yeah, the tribulation is started, of course, by the covenant of the harlot and the beast. Okay, now that we got all that settled, what day is it?
When does it start? What day?
What day does it start?
Well, it's July 1st now, right?
No, I don't know. No, actually, she said sometime in July, not really. She didn't give a date. But the Lord told him, don't be looking. No, let's see. Wait a minute now. I'm sorry. Missy, did she say that the other thing was going to happen in July and that the tribulation was going to start in August or September?
Yeah, she said end of August, September. End of August, September.
Well, actually, if you remember, Larry came on and qualified it. He said, I don't remember saying August, but she said September. Remember that the next day or so? Mm-hmm. Anyway, looks like it's come. We're right here, so it's best to get everybody get ready. I know y'all all ready, aren't you?
You know,
see a halo on everybody.
I had a dream, a couple years ago when we were, getting in here with UBM and stuff, and I sent it off to David. But during that dream, it was like during that time when we were up inside on the mountain in classrooms and being taught, and learning how to enter in the rest and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden I was taken out of the classroom and had to count some money. And I had all these different, they had these monies. We had to count the currencies. And I said, I don't want to touch this stuff because I didn't want to be defiled. He says, no, it's okay. We have to equalize the currencies. I said, okay. So must have helped do the counting of the currencies. And then shortly after that, I was sent back down the mountain in a car that drove itself through the woods. And it was like just fast. And it was going through the woods so fast that it was like hundreds of an inch from the car, the trees. That's how close they were. But we were maneuvering through this woods down onto the earth. And then, ended up getting in the deep water that threw me into a big lake. The car went and dived in a lake. It was under the water for, I don't know. I was looking up at the top of the lake in the car. And I thought, well, I got to get out of this car. So eventually, the minute I thought it, I was on top of the lake swimming, And it was just at that point, anything I thought I could do. I thought, well, I got to get to that. I looked over and looking around in the middle of this lake. And I thought, well, I got to get to the dock because I'm way out in the middle of the lake. And I thought it, and there I was at the dock. And I thought, well, I got to get on top of the dock. I thought it, and I was on top of the dock. I didn't have to do any works at that point. It was just, But that was interesting during that time, that dream, which was poignant, was we're in the classroom. We were learning, like we're now doing these things, learning everything we needed to know. Then pulled out of the classroom to count the currencies, and then sat back to earth and got this anointing, under the water, the deep waters. And so it was, but the earth was really dark at the time. The whole earth was dark when this happened. So it might mean that's the time for the, the coming of the gospel to the earth again. I don't know.
Amen. That sounded like a fun dream.
Well, that was a crazy dream. It was neat, though. It was neat. I mean, I liked it because we were in a classroom, and I couldn't tell who was up front, but I kind of had a feeling it was Jesus teaching us, And the angels were going back and forth in the classroom with the students, helping us out, getting us ready. We had these little desks we were sitting at, and then about that time, they said, well, now it's time to go lay down. So they put us all on these cots and they wrapped us up with something like the Holy Spirit. We all got wrapped up with the Holy Spirit to learn how to rest. And so, it's just kind of a neat dream. But I'd like to get more of those dreams. I just only had one of those. That was cool. Anyways, I'll stop.
Amen. That sounds pretty good. You're talking about the darkness now. I had three visions years apart. One vision, this was back when I was living in Arkansas, and there was darkness, and there was about this much light, as a sky. Everything was dark, but just about this much. And then the second one, it was about this much. And then the third one, the light was almost gone. And that was probably 6 or 7 years ago that I had that. So, yeah, we're in darkness. We're getting into darkness pretty good. Yeah, Mike, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just thinking about the feast here. The biblical feasts.
Yeah.
And, the fall feasts start off with the Feast of Trumpets. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's first of Tishri. Then comes the Day of Atonement, the 10th of Tishri. And then comes the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the 15th to the 22nd of Tishri. So it's not the same thing with the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
Which one comes first?
Feast of Trumpets.
So that one might be bringing in the Tribulation Trumpets, you think?
That I don't know, but that is the start of the secular year. Well, start of the biblical year is that's in the spring, right?
Yes.
The start of the secular year is the Feast of Trumpets, the first of Tishri.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. I'm not too familiar with peace and the trumpets and all of that, but I do know about all the trumpets in tribulation.
I think some of these feasts play out. That's what they were. They're symbolic of these times. They just play out. So.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a question? A question? Look with me at 1 John chapter 4. And let's see. Okay, let's verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. I saw this the other day and I started studying about this. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. God is love. Then move down to 16. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love. And he that abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Is that the one? Yeah, I see it. God is love. That's God is love two times in this chapter. And the question I have is, how does that pertain to us? If God is love, what does that mean to us? I'm just going to throw that out there. Think about that just a minute. There's other scriptures. There's a lot of other scriptures involved in that God is love thing. Think about it. Let me throw something else out there. If God is in us, okay, and as salvation, if God is in us, what does that mean to us as far as God is love? We've talked about this before, but not to this, not in this respect. Yeah, Dave.
One of the things that, when I go over these verses like that, is, especially when we have discussions, sometimes the discussions get on topics that aren't really pleasant to talk about. When we talk about judgment, if we talk about, election, we start talking about bearing fruit and not bearing fruit, and then the apostasy that's out there, apostate churches and, not coming in the image of Jesus Christ, all these things. I mean, some of this stuff that we do talk about, and we especially if we talk about judgment and stuff and things coming, if people might have a hard time seeing love through that, because we see this with God as love, but at the same time, it's not love if we don't talk about the truth and expose things so people can understand what it is we God wants out of us, so that we can fall in line with His love. You know, because you're not going to be loved by God if you're not trying to walk in truth and you know, be obedient. And that's part of the love we know is obedience. And that's how God judges whether we love Him or not, is are we being obedient to His word? Because there's a lot of people say, oh, I love God. You know, but they aren't exactly walking the walk they need to walk in order for God to love them, you know, and they're not being in line with that. And so I try to understand that too well, also knowing that this love of God has got to be pure and holy, and you feel that for everybody else, and you try to, you know, be respectful and get along and everything as much as you can, but at the same time you have to have that truth come out and share the truth and talk about things that aren't maybe so pleasant. But it's because if you did share that also, then you're going to miss the boat, you know, you're going to miss it all and not even have that love. That's the only thing I struggle with on the love part, is knowing how to balance it where, hey, you can love somebody at the same and do everything as far as what you think is proper and right with somebody and what you should be with others, but at the same time, not sacrifice that truth that has to come out and isn't so pleasant to hear, but it's still God. So that's kind of one of the things I kind of struggle with, you know, how do you maintain that love where that people feel like they are loved, but at the same time, we got this truth of the word also we got to share, you know.
Okay. All right. Anybody else on the love of God? Let me throw this out there. John 13:35 came to my mind when I was reading that as well. And that's, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one to another. In other words, loving my brothers, loving my sisters, no matter what, loving them. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to come up before us in the days ahead, that God's love is going to have to be quite evident in us in order for us to help these people. And if we allow, I don't want to get too much into it because I want y'all to help me out here. Is God not able, through His mighty power, put that love in me? If I allow Him to do it, whatever I surrender of Michael is what God would give me of Himself. Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay. I have a little handy dandy notebook right here, and it's got a lot of scriptures on it that I wrote down stuff pertaining to. Sometimes I just can't memorize them all. I figure forgiveness is a good one, so I got that starting page one, and it goes on through all these topics that I can go through in case I need it. I like to carry it with me in case I ever have to use this. Well, love was my second topic, and so I'll read a few verses. So this one I like here, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. So you either don't love, you're not begotten of God. Now that's scary now. Think about that. And, you know, you was the question, what is love? Is that what it was? Or what was
God is love.
Yeah.
If God is love, what does that mean to us?
Okay. So 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love, my writing's terrible. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, it is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. So, you know, our own personal trials. That's sorry if I'm missing your question. But that's love, and that's what it means for us, and to take these things gratefully and hopefully, you know, and indeed not. I got quite a few more, but I won't take them all. I won't steal everybody's thunder. I got a few pages, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. Okay, Julie. We might come back to you, Isaac.
I would just add that we love God because he first loved us, and I think he put his love in us because we wouldn't love him otherwise because of the sin nature. We're self-willed, we're prideful, and nobody would even come to God unless God drew them. So I think God put that in us so we would love him. And in Romans 5:8, it says, God commendeth his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the scripture you're talking about, Michael, in 1 John 4:16,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about, and we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. For God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. And that word abideth, I think that's a big part of it. That word in the Greek, they call it, or it's in the King James, is dwelleth. But that's to stay in relation to expectancy. You have to continue, abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. You have to continue in that love. You have to continue to abide in Christ. You have to continue to let God deal with you, you know, and that's love, and knowing that, you know, God really does love you because, you know, he wants to perfect us. And so it's not that mushy feeling kind of love, but it's, you know, that, you know, it's respect and awe and the fear of God love too, that, you know, it's continuing on in believing God does love me, even though you go through some horrific things sometimes, whatever he's dealing with our flesh that has to be removed. You know, so we really can love each other and we really can love God. And it's real because Jesus prayed so many awesome prayers for his disciples, for his children. And, you know, the Lord began this good work in us and he will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that's even but the perfecting us in love part too. That's all I wanted to share.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? What should we expect as far as God's love in us? What should we as brothers and sisters in Christ be doing as far as that love of Christ in our heart? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother. George, we're not hearing you for whatever reason.
How about now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can hear you now. No, we can't hear you now. You're not muted on Zoom, so you must be muted on your microphone.
Hear me, Michael?
Can you hear George?
I can.
I can hear him.
Well, I can't hear him.
I'll do better.
Thank you, George. I heard you then.
I was just thinking about the sacrificial life in Christ, that if we prefer others before ourselves, that and take the thoughts of self and self-preservation, and we allow Jesus to live through us by meeting others' needs and letting him flow through us, and just totally unplugging from all the worries and thoughts of how are we going to survive and how are we going to be provided for, but finding out who does he want to provide for through us, and how does he want to live large through us, and then by one anothering, by encouraging one another, by lifting up each other's burdens, by celebrating with one another, we are so joined into this house of God that we forget totally about all the self and eyes, and we are so joined to Christ and his mission that every day is just the adventure that he's called us to live. And obviously, it's again, it comes back to that covenant and that life with God's family, and it's not necessarily just throwing our pearls before swine. It's really a connecting with the body of Christ and letting God make the connections and confirm that we are truly hooked up with the true body of Christ wherever we are.
Amen. Exactly. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Dave.
Okay, here's where I have the question on, is when does God come in and we start seeing God manifest his love in us and we're walking in that truth and love by the power of the Holy Spirit versus us trying to make it happen our own works?
When you surrender all yourself to the Lord, that's when the Lord takes over. And I know that sounds real simple, but that's exactly what he wants. He wants us. And George was saying it pretty eloquently there. When we get rid of self, when we die completely to self and rely completely on the Lord, and what by that I mean like this, Dave, if I see my brother out there in need and I have that need and can fulfill that need, and I use that need for myself rather than him, then I still have a lot of self left in me. And that's just a way to show what God wants out of us. He wants us to be completely selfless in our actions and in our talk. That's what he's looking for. In other words, he wants us just like Jesus. That's the way Jesus was. That's what I'm seeing anyway. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Claire. I'll get right to you, Andrea. I saw you.
I think I've just been tremendously blessed by everything all of you have just said. And I feel like I need to repent of self works with the idea that I'm doing it because God's love is in me oftentimes, but actually I don't think he requires that kind of work from me. And I don't know where I learned to do those works, because I don't really come from an institutionalized church background, but it's probably just the self that wants to glory in the self. And I just wanted to repent of that and just really want the Lord's love to be in me more. And I want to operate from that more and not from a soulish, selfish love. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for doing that for Claire. We thank you for doing it for all of us, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that the needs of the brothers and sisters in Christ come before us. We are servants. And we praise you, Father, for placing that in our hearts and helping us to die to this old self life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are doing it, because we believers, we're all believers. We're believing it by faith that you're working it out in us. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone else? Let's see, Andrew, you had your hand up. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I seem to be thinking about this verse here. I had to look it up because there it's in John chapter 5, verse 19, when the self-life was mentioned. This is talking, Jesus is saying these words here about his own self. Okay. And what's good enough for Jesus is supposed to be good enough for us. And it says, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son,
y'all froze up.
We can hear you though, Michael.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Let me go do something. Y'all go ahead. I need to go tell them, turn them computers off. Hang on.
Can everybody hear me? Okay. So, you know, this verse 19, and there's some really good verses here showing the faith of Jesus for his Father. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father doing. For whatsoever things he doeth, these the Son also doeth likewise. And it says here in the 20th verse, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and greater works than these will he show him, that ye may marvel. And So all these things Jesus gave credit to the Father for, but he's actually operating in this love. Like there's, it brings to mind also the scripture where no word of God shall be void of power. And If Jesus had to depend upon the Father like this, and we're supposed to be one body with him, and all those other ones in Ephesians 4 and 4, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is, and this is the good part, over all, in all, and through all, then shouldn't we expect that this mighty, powerful God of ours would give us the love when we need it to demonstrate it? Because we have faith in the awesomeness of our God to fulfill these things. You know, this is God we're talking about here, and his love for us. And you all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. There's another verse down further, verse 31, also in the same chapter. If I witness of myself, my witness is not true. It is another that witnesseth of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And because God loved us and gave us his only begotten Son, this is God's witness of us. This is his obedience that he wants us to share in this very simple verse that a lot of people know for salvation of John 3:16. And just as was mentioned in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So this is where our witness comes too. And we've been witnessing of this love that he's given us, this obedience. And so I'm just kind of wondering if these verses here, you know, coupled with a lot of other verses that John seemed to really speak a lot about love, and not saying that the other apostles didn't, but to have this love is given to us because that's how we got saved. And you know, it's his grace. The grace is operating when he gives you the Lord Jesus Christ. And you won't perish because God's going to keep you in his hand. So that's your salvation. And that whosoever believeth in him is your faith. And you have your gift of eternal life because you're not going to perish. Perish not, but have eternal life. So that's your gift, you know, and your gift increases as your maturity increases. It's like you're growing up all over again, which is kind of neat. Considering when you first believed. So, you know, if you're going to have fellowship, I it dawned on me what it said at the very last verse of 2 Corinthians 13, that there is a fellowship with this Holy Spirit that you can have. And it speaks of the love of Jesus there too. Can't remember the verse offhand, but it's just you know, what is your obedience when you don't hear the shepherd, as it says in 10, you are going to run away. You have an obedient nature here to run from what is not the shepherd's voice. And this is a fine tuning for the maturity you have. I think what most of us have a problem with is when you run into these people who might have a clean, born-again spirit, but they're not really loving God with their soul, to have the fruit in their soul. And if they have no power to obey, then where is their fellowship with the Holy Spirit? You know, if, like David said once, he was, I forget the topic he was discussing, but he realized he was talking with a fellow believer. And I think it maybe had to do with oneness or the Trinity or something. So he had to quiet himself and listen to what the other person had to say. This was a few years ago, I guess, with David. And this is how he came to the realization of attaining more love, more obedience to the Father and to the Lord Jesus. And that's what I think we all strive for. Knowing that the Father is at the time going to tell us to do these things, just like he did with Jesus. Just like you could see the whole, I call it choreographing of the time Peter was on the roof, getting the trance vision of the sheet, and then the people show up at his door to go see Cornelius. Then he goes and sees Cornelius. They all get the gospel. They all repent, and they even get the baptism of the Holy Spirit right away. So isn't that part of entering the rest anyway? I don't know if I'm just speaking, you know, too much here, but I don't know. I just sometimes think, you know, you gotta really just look at the magnificence of our Father, the almightiness of Him. You know, just to look at is even His creation sometimes, you know, the vastness of the creation. Like, how can we not just let go and say, yeah, you know, what do I know? He's almighty. And it's an experience that you would probably assimilate to your parents when you were very young, like as young as this little girl we see in a picture over here, you know, how much she has to depend on dad, and how that smile of that little girl could make his heart melt, whatever. But more so, we know that it's not through these smiles or feelings, but through this obedience that he already gave us. You know, to fathom all that he has given us, that he has given to Christ, would boggle your mind if you try to figure it out. But there are things where he says he's going to give to you beyond whatever you think or ask. And he cares for his children. So he's going to see that whoever needs a need here, or a supply, or a correction, or a fellowship, that it'll be mentioned in fellowship. And praise God for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That was good. All right, go ahead, David.
Yeah, when we get on these topics, I have to go to the Lord on some of this stuff, because even though somebody might say something, it's not really clicking with me. It's not entering into me the way I want it, you know, the way I need it, the way I can understand it from God. And I did this with this verse. I posted it with the Lord, and he was good. He gave me what I needed to understand for me to get and capture this love and walk in the Spirit. Is I have to enter the rest. Now, I know when I get into the rest, then I start to get cheerful. I'm transformed, and that's when I can feel that I can love. I can let the love come out, because, you know, I'm in the rest. I'm cheerful. The love of God comes out of me. Then it does. And then the bottom of that says, He has said. I know God just said that. He just told me this. That was from this verse. And what I do is I just take the numbers and gave them what do the numbers mean, the names, what do they mean? And that's how I got that. I mean, that's just simply how sometimes the Lord reveals things to me. But, and then when somebody starts saying, well, no, you got to die to self, and you got to get rid of self and all this, and then you got to do this. To me, it goes in more, I'm trying to work this out. I'm trying to be this. I got to do this. It's for me, it's self works. When I'm trying to do these things, and I don't want to get into self works, but I need to understand how God makes this work in my life so that I can work in the Spirit. And the way I work in the Spirit, He told me, you got to enter into the rest. And I know what that means. I've been in rest. When I don't feel the world's pressures around me and I'm not thinking about the world and I can just enjoy and know that I'm in God's kingdom and I'm his child and I'm walking in that newness of life, then I got that cheerfulness coming out. Then a love of God comes out of me, you know, around for others. Because now I'm walking in the spirit. I'm walking in that rest. That's when I can know I've got that love for others, when I'm in the rest. That's what that's how it related to me just now. So,
amen. Well, you're right. It's not by anything we do, but listen to what Paul says in Acts 20 and 24. But I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, so that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, he's saying, I can't account myself as anything. I'm a servant. And what God wants me to do, that's what I've got to do. And I believe that's what you were talking about.
What verse was that?
That's Acts 20 and 24.
Yeah. I mean, all that comes into play. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just.
All right. Missy, go ahead.
Well, I was kind of almost like Dave. I wasn't really listening a whole lot to what everybody was saying, but, you know, I just.
What?
I was thinking about what, you know, just myself. I'm like thinking in my own head, you know, what I would say love is, you know. And I mean, it's okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay. He gave his son. And Jesus died willingly for our sins. We deserved the punishment, but he died for us. Okay. He took the punishment that we deserve. And not only that, he gave us then his life. He didn't require anything from us. There was nothing that we needed to do. We didn't have to ask him, will you die for my sins? Will you die for my sins? He didn't. You know, he did it. That's love. And one of the first things that actually came to my mind, though, verse about what love is, I mean, I'm like working this out in my mind, kind of like David was doing. There's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus said, and you're my friends. And so we have him as example. And you know, what David was saying about the rest, you know, rest and grace go together, because you rest because you know it's not your works, and God gives you the grace, you know, it's faith, believing. Okay, it's like, didn't this blow your mind? God did everything for us and didn't require nothing from us, but just to believe what he says. And we can partake of his divine nature. I mean, blow your mind. That is such love. That's how much he loves us, that he did it all for us. And all we have to do is just receive that free gift, salvation. Of course, we have to repent and believe. Can't forget the repentance. Say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Not saved by grace, though. I was a sinner saved by grace, but we don't continue that. Anyway, I won't go there. but anyway. but yeah, that's love. And then the Lord told us, love one another as I have loved you. How's that? He laid down his life, so we lay down our life. Why? Because we believe that we don't live any longer, but he lives in us. It's all about faith. It's all about just believing what God says. And you just believe what he says, and you can be, you know, once you repent and believe, you know, the gospel, then you can do everything and be everything that he has given us. Everything is ours. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Gosh, he's given us such an inheritance, you know? That's love. That's love. Amen.
Okay. Go ahead, Claire.
So we know that he doesn't love everyone, right? Like, we know that. So I struggled with this thing recently, and there was this human who I kept on doing stuff. And I was really getting tired of doing, I didn't have the wherewithal to keep on doing these things that I was doing. And so I took a break from doing these things that I was doing, and, you know, and sought the Lord through it all, and realized, you know, that some of the things were definitely led of him, but other things, it was kind of like I was getting into works. And so I just repented to God, and I said, okay, but why am I still feeling this way? Like, what? I know I'm supposed to lay down my life. Like, I know I'm supposed to be sacrificial. And if that means, you know, give up my time for the body, or give up my resources for the body, or whatever that looks like, I am so willing. And so I asked him, what am I supposed to do with this human? Like, what shall I do with this human? And I opened the Bible onto the word eunuch. And I was so shocked, because I'm like, well, a eunuch has got a very, very specific purpose in the Old Testament. But the most notable thing is that that person has no seed of themselves. And that I can give this human in my own life, I can give this human nothing. Like, I have only Christ in me to give. But if that is not the thing that is required by this human, if this human still needs flesh, or if this human still needs, like, just fleshly fellowship, then I can't actually step up to the plate, because I don't have that. I don't have that. And so I think the Lord has shown me that when we love, it looks very different to maybe what the apostate church says love is, or maybe what the world says love is. Our love is a sacrificial love, but it's not bound by works. Our faith requires works. Our love is something that transcends that. Yes, Jesus died for us. He did that thing that is a work. He did it, and we should be able to lay down our lives. But that's just something that is so much deeper than any physical work. Like, we just can't. It will deplete us, is what I'm saying. If we are in self-works, it'll come to that point where you can't do it anymore, because we are finite in and of ourselves. But when we have the love of God, we can continually give that seed. We can continually grow that, because everything spiritual will be multiplied, but the flesh needs to die.
Very well said, Claire. Very well said. Go ahead, Geneva.
What I was going to say, it's nothing super profound, but I think it's okay.
Well, go ahead.
I'm just playing. no, I don't feel that. But I was going to say that I felt love on this ministry outreach when I noticed that the first time I got on here, I'd share something small with you guys, and the next thing I know, everyone would be cheering and clapping. And that, to me, is like true love and, you know, the true joy of the Lord. And that's something too that, you know, like, I mean, growing up, I went to so many different Pentecostal churches and this and that with my mom, and so many people there just didn't have joy, you know. And I guess, like, you can just see the joy and you can feel the love on everyone's faces, even though we're all on the camera. And I think that that right there really drew my heart in, and just you could feel God's love represented through everybody. And the scripture too, about how it talks about, you know, looking in the mirror, like looking at everyone's faces and everyone being so excited, and it could be something small, something medium, something big, and everyone's still going to be so excited for you. So that to me is God's love and just a representation of it. And, you know, I feel like Christians should really show that for people all the time. But then also too, I was going to say something else, that me and Marissa talk about, is that love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And I know that that is something that can really trip us up. And, you know, if you can think, David Ill said something one time, he said, and this kind of goes with forgiveness too. He said, if you think of a person and that first thing you think about is that thing that they did to you, then you don't have forgiveness. And therefore, you know, you don't have the love that you need. Now, I remember at the time I had somebody that every time their name would come to my mind, boom, that thing that they did to me, I'd just be like, gosh. And I, you know, I'd start feeling it in my spirit. And I knew that I needed true forgiveness and I needed to feel, you know, love, the right love. And two, the scripture that, you know, no, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment. And if you have, I feel, the true love of God, true love of Jesus, you're not going to fear. And I know when I feared before things, I'm like, oh gosh, I need more love. I need to work on that. Who am I not loving? I really feel strongly too about the record of wrongs, because that's something that I got to work on daily, is, oh, that person did this to me, or, you know, because that right there is a huge indicator of needing godly love.
Amen. Okay. All right. Anyone else want to expound on this love? You know, when we do surrender it all to the Lord, and we do the things that he's asked us to do, because, you know, he said, love is to obey my commandments. That's when we get rid of self-life. We want to be in the presence of God. We can't wait to get in the closet, in our prayer closet, to get close to God and to hear his voice and to talk with. And a lot of times our self-life gets way in the way. I'm speaking for Michael, okay? I'm not speaking for y'all. I know y'all probably get in it every day, hours on end, and walking that perfect life. But for me, it's real, real, I love to get in the spirit with the Lord and listen to him when he talks to me. But my self-life gets in the way a lot of times. And that's what God wants us to lay up on the altar and allow him to take that self-life away from it. And we're just going to have to believe that he's going to do it in us, you know, like we've all been talking about tonight, to have the faith to believe that God's working it in us to do that. And he's going to, if you ask him, he'll give you the time to spend with him. If you have to wake up early in the morning, you know. But anyway, that's just my little 2 cents worth there about dying to self and allowing the Lord to work in you. I can tell you this, when you do that, you've got a lot more peace in your heart. And you've got a lot more rest in your heart when you are able to do that often. All right, Sunil, go ahead, brother.
This is more like a prayer request as well as a testimony. Come everything in terms of the love of God. When I came into the faith and I was able to, display that I had a great deal of compassion. That was what it was. I had a great compassion for people and I prayed for many of them and many got healed. And then, you know what? These very ones whom I prayed for forgave their sins and brought them before the Lord for they healed and they got healed. These ones turned against me and, you know, called me false prophet and came against me as if I was working out of, something's were happening which are not from God. And you know what, the whole thing of the compassion itself went from me. And, you know, now I am struggling with bitterness and, you know, nonstop attacks on my, the thoughts against them, or I don't know what, and I'm struggling with it. And I have zero compassion now. I'm not able to pray for anyone. I am not able to pray for myself as well. And my situation is so bad that, I'm not even able to pray. Like, you know, it's a big struggle.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Sunil, I can kind of relate to what you were talking about. Like when I first got saved and I got, you know, Lord just, you know, got a hold of me and even everybody I knew, I was like telling about Jesus and telling about the Lord and what I was learning in the Bible and all that and prayed for people. And so, you know, just like Jesus, just like the disciples, just like, all of us, you know, it's like we have to suffer persecutions from people, even when they turn on you and you do good to them, you know, it's like you're sharing in Christ's righteousness, or you're sharing in his suffering for righteousness sake, just as like what he did. And anyway, it's a matter of just, you know, you have to forgive. And even though you might have thoughts of bitterness or anger towards them, you have to give that to the Lord. We all have to learn to do that. As far as, I don't know why that they turned on you. Maybe they lost their healing or something after you prayed for them, but that's not your responsibility. It's just, you know, you can teach them faith, you know, you can show them what faith is and all that kind of, there's just a lot of things that could happen, but, you know, ask God to give you the compassion back. That's just something I've learned, that anytime you think you've lost something and you don't have it anymore, it's like cry out to Jesus, you know, Lord, I want back, you know, put that compassion back in my heart, put that love back in my heart for these people who are, you know, turning against me and lying about me or, you know, mocking me or whatever it is that they're doing. And he'll do it. You know, it's all a matter of getting our heart right with the Lord. I hope that helps. You know, that's what was coming to me is I've been there too. And I first got saved and, you know, the Lord just miraculous. People who, even the very person who, you know, my ex that I left, I was trying to, you know, help him, you know, with the Lord. It's like, you need Jesus. I can't help you. But yeah, I was trying to get him saved in my own way. So it's, you know, it's just all kinds of things that everyone's got to go through on their, you know, persecutions and staying on their cross and laying down your life and getting God's grace and strength to help to do that, because we can't do it in ourselves. I hope that helps, Sunil.
Yeah, I know that, and I've been, you know, seeking the forgive and letting go, you know, but it just keeps coming back and, you know, haunting me. Like though I have, in my mind, I have made a decision and I've given it to the Lord, but still this attack keeps happening, and and the people close to me are the ones who are doing it. So it happens day in and out, and you know what, they try to wear me out, kind of thing. And it's been very difficult. Yeah.
Sunil, is it family?
Yeah.
Oh, they're the hardest ones.
Amen.
They're the hardest ones because you love them and you care about them. Yeah. Keep praying for their souls. Keep praying for their salvations. And you know, it's a flesh killer, your family. You know, it's just, that's a hard one. I know.
Amen. Go, Missy.
Well, you're having a hard time with this because you're being rejected by them. And there's a spirit of rejection operating in here. And you're having a hard time, you said, even praying for yourself or for others. And, if you have issues with rejection, the spirit of rejection. And when someone rejects you, it's hard to forgive them then. And that may be what you're dealing with here is unforgiveness, rejection, unforgiveness. And all. And does that resonate with you? I mean, do you I think maybe
yeah, it does, yes.
Yeah. So would you like us to pray for you concerning those things?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, Father, Sunil says, you know, he knows he has these issues and these problems, and he wants to have that compassion and that love and the forgiveness, and doesn't want to feel rejected anymore. So we just take authority over the enemy we command rejection to go, and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness to go from Sunil in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask you to put love in his heart and compassion once again, Lord. And then we just command any spirits of hindering him from praying for others and for himself. And Lord, that he would even forgive himself, Lord, and that he would not even have self-rejection. We command unforgiveness of himself to go, and self-rejection to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, many of Jesus's own disciples, people that he prayed for, they lost their healings or they turned against him then. And Lord, it's just part of our crucifixion of our old man. And we're just called to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for setting Sunil free and putting your love and compassion in his heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One of the things about keeping your healing is getting in the Word of God and rebuking the devil when he comes back around. And that sometimes we need to teach him to do that. When we pray for him, be sure to tell him that thing's just going to go out there and do a wheelie and come right back and try to patch himself on you. And all you have to do is just rebuke him and tell him, nope, I've been prayed. And that's what I do. I try to tell him, you know, first and foremost, that you have to be diligent in keeping that healing for a time.
Yeah, they're all healed. They're all healed and well, and that's in their wellness they're doing that to me. They were not healed, they wouldn't be having the ability to do all this, right? They are healed and very well. They have forgotten where they've come from.
Yeah, Sunil, it could be that, you know, they have rejection and they have rejection towards you. And until that changes in their hearts, they're still going to find reasons to accuse you wrongfully. And praise God, they kept their healing, that they are still healed. So praise God, you know, God's faithful. Amen. Yeah. So that's just, you know, when they have rejection, you just, you know, you can bind those spirits up, but until they forgive themselves, you know.
They even say they don't want my prayer.
That hurts, doesn't it? You keep praying for them. Just don't let them know that you're doing it. You know, you keep praying for them though, and believing for them. That's our part. Amen.
Yeah.
God's going to do it. He's going to do it for all of our families, because we've all got similar stories about that. So he's going to do it for all of our families.
Amen.
Keep believing. Keep believing.
All right. Anyone else? Well, hey, Rhea. Hey, brother. How's it going?
Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm blessed, Michael. You won't believe
how much. Amen. All right. Is anything else about this God is love? Go ahead, George.
I think the love of God and the fear of God go together. And they yep. are actually one can be replaced with the other, and it would still be the same. He says that God loved us. That's why he gave his, in this, he loved us that, in that he gave his son, right? He showed us his love first, right? And then in 1 John 4:9, he says, herein is the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. And then in 1 John 5:3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so when we are able to do all that he has said without a second thought, or, you know, so that's when the love of God is perfected in us. This is what I think. And he also says in Jude, he says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So this should become our nature. So that's when the love of God is perfected in us. So as you said earlier, it's the same thing as, you know, giving up yourself and, you know, being concerned about others more as than your own self, and things like that. So, and the love doesn't keep any record of wrongs. And I've been failing miserably in those areas.
Okay. Go ahead, George.
That's very good. I was thinking that by studying to show ourselves approved, by spending time with God, like you mentioned, just enjoying our Father, he sets up the world around us for us to minister his love. And that by telling the truth, when we study the word and we know God, and we tell people the truth, that it causes a death in us, because we're willing to lay our lives down for somebody to tell them the truth, even though they may hate us for it, and that we may lose an earthly friendship or a reward that the flesh is seeking after, to be self-promoted or anything else. But all we're told is to plant and to water, and that God gives the increase, that the laborers are nothing. And like Andrew said, we can do nothing unless God is doing it through us. To just be willing to keep planting and keep watering and let God, you know, if we have to knock the dust off our boots, once we've given the bread that God has given us, you know, we've got to run our race. We can't look back to see, you know, what's going on with the harvest. We just have to be that sharp instrument that God's plowing hearts with, that he's pulling through the world, and that it's uncomfortable for us to run into rocks and barriers in that field of harvest, but God still wants to plow with us. So we study and we practice love and we practice letting the reward be all God's. Let that well done, good and faithful servant, let that be the only reward that we seek, and just keep running, and people will be self-condemned when they judge us, and all we're doing is following our Father and doing what we see and hear him say and do. Then we lose all responsibility for the harvest. It's God's harvest. And we can, you know, if we get to come back around that field again and we see how something's grown up, then praise the Lord. It's just like when we lay hands on somebody and we know the word says they will recover. They will recover. The truth is the truth. And faith, just unleash it. And there's nowhere we can go that the power of God and the kingdom of God is not near. We're bringing the power, the Holy Spirit, the same one that rolled the stone away, that raised Jesus from the dead and created everything. He's in us. So there's no lack of power and lack of purpose. It's just a matter of believing, and we don't have to see it to believe it. It's like this is what the prophets and the angels longed to see. They longed to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And we're walking in it more and more every day. And everybody on this call and everybody that listens to this call, no matter when they plug in, is going to be more like Jesus from this minute forward, because they know that that's their true purpose in life, is to let Jesus live in these crucified bodies. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, George. That was awesome. Yeah, David.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about here is because there's a few people at work I can think of that I kind of don't get too close to, because they're Christian by name, and by some of their understandings of Christ and teachings, but then they become somewhat factious. You know, they like to speak evil about others, or they don't let go of things that happen in their life, and they start getting railing on it. And so that spirit I pull away from those people. I won't, you know, get too close to them, because I don't want that spirit on me. And I don't know how to, it's not, one guy actually is a pastor. He is a pastor, but, and he'll tell you he speaks in tongues and all that. But I've told him before, you're being factious because of some of the things he said. But with that in mind, I mean, I'm not trying to be unloving with these people, but it's like, I don't want to be part of that either. I don't want that spirit and coming on me and having that fellowship where it's inviting that always constantly to come at me. So I stand back away from that. Now, when we talk about love and loving others and laying our life down, at the same time, when we get around factious people, we're not supposed to really give and take with that. Am I correct?
Yeah. If you're talking about people that are factious and just want to argue all the time, yeah, leave them alone.
Well, that, or they just want to, they like to talk about other people behind their backs.
Yeah, that's factious.
They won't let go of something, and they'll bring something up that's happened in their past, and that anger is coming out. You know, it's like, ugh. I just kind of stand back from them. I don't not love them. I do. I'd like to have a great relationship with Christ with them, but it's hard to when they're like that. You know, they just, you know.
Yeah, I do run into it quite often when I'm here. Well, thank you, Lord, for giving us a willing heart for you. And Father, we just ask that you show us how to surrender self to you, to where we can be used mightily by you, Lord. Because I know when we get rid of all the self, we're gonna be walking atomic bombs for Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, leading us, guiding us. And we thank you for your blood, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you for all the things that you're working out in our life. And given us the faith to believe that we are cleansed, sanctified by faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else got a word? Yeah, Joe.
Can I just add something about, I posted a word and world. The only difference between a word and a world is an L. That's lust of the flesh. I was thinking about that.
That's good.
Amen. Joe comes up with these little tidbits every now and then.
Man, I tell you.
That's good.
You get all this stuff from South Africa.
Yeah, I'm still learning. You're gonna have to, Joe. You're gonna have to learn how to talk Arkansas now.
I'm trying.
Okay, trying.
Joe, can you say fixin'?
Fixin'? Is that the same?
Oh, I tell you what, it's just unique to get on this fellowship and listen to all the different dialects from English, you know. Mine's the most normal. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, one more chance to, anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Yeah, Davis.
I just like to have his prayer about this love, because you know, even sometimes in a group, you feel like when we're getting on some of these discussions, they get kind of, you know, it's truth coming out. We're saying things. It's not like I'm feeling this overwhelming love when we're talking about it. It's just like we're just sharing a lot of truth, and I don't want it to be where it's not making people feel uncomfortable, and I love when we're doing it. I guess that's my concern, you know.
Okay.
You know, so
the Lord, we just ask and we pray right now that you give us all understanding about your type of love that you want in us, Lord. And we thank you for doing it, clarifying in our mind the works thing and the faith thing and how it plays in part with this love thing, Lord. I know that you want us to surrender all to you, to give it all to you. And I know that we can't do it without your help. And we thank you, Lord, that we just believe in that you are working that in us. You are working that out in us, Lord, that, that self has got to go and Jesus has to grow. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, David.
Hey, everyone. So during this time that we've had, I just got really attacked in my mind. I mean, you guys all know I get dreams and I'll send them to David. And I never really thought my dreams would be shared with the body. I always just kind of sent them for personal interpretation. And then if they got shared, then I was like, well, okay, that's great. You know, the Lord's using me. And so recently I sent some dreams for personal interpretation. And then I guess they got forwarded, and I got an email just telling me how to type up my dreams, you know, like what format to use and stuff. And I know this email was sent just, you know, good intentions, you know. She even wrote, you know, this is no condemnation. And but I still like, and it's so childish, I feel like, but I got so attacked by it. And I just felt so like, what am I even doing sending these dreams? Like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt so just confused and just not ready to be doing this. And then, instantly, I'm just like, you know, why are we even planning to visit everyone locally tomorrow? Like, you're not ready for this. You're, you know, like, who are you? And I'm, you know, I know these are just attacks, because instantly I started getting really bad back pain as well that I've been trying to push away. And I feel like when I get attacked, I also get back pain. I don't know. I just, if I could have some prayer for this, or just, I don't know. I don't really understand why I'm feeling this way.
I'd like to pray if I could.
Let me let Clara go ahead. She's had her hand up here for quite a while.
This is an attack, and we have to come against it, because you've been given a gift, and we know it's biblical that you have the responsibility to send these on, because no gift is just for us, it's for the body. So I also rebuke this spirit of rejection that is coming on you, because UBM fellowship is not fickle. And UBM Fellowship is not into making any one of us feel small, but making us feel like more than conquerors in Christ who loves us. So I'm rebuking this, and I'm going to wage war on your part now, because you're tired. You're a young mama with two small kids, and your sleep patterns may be affecting you. And I rebuke that as well. If you have the time and the space to type this up, God is going to give you everything you need to type it up in the way that it needs to be sent in. And nobody is going to hate you or think less of you if it's not perfect. It is a guideline, and it is to run things as efficiently as possible. So Lord, I come to you now very, very humbly, and I pray a spirit of peace over this beautiful sister in Christ. Lord, thank you for giving her dreams. Thank you for giving her the wherewithal to be obedient to be sending them in. And yes, we are always very, very keen to find out how it applies in our personal lives. But Lord, the dream is always for the corporate. And it, no matter if we can't see it initially, and we know that we are so blessed by this ministry because we rely on what you show the saints in our sleeping hours. Father, I rebuke this fear of rejection that is coming onto my sister in Christ in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the unforgiveness that is trying to come on her and is trying to manifest through back pain in the name of Jesus. It has no place in that house, and it has no place on this fellowship, and we will not have it because we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And you will walk in victory because that is what he has ordained for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I know that your dreams are such a blessing, and we understand exactly what you're going through, because Claire obviously sends her dreams as well, and we've also received emails that it has to be done in a certain way, and I know we've often taken it the wrong way as well, but then back pain comes on Claire as well. So I almost want to say that it's perfectly normal, but we shouldn't accept it, right? Like, so it's not you, it's absolutely just the enemy. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's the enemy don't want those dreams out. If you feel from the Lord that he doesn't want you to share that dream with the rest of the body, or doesn't need to be shared, I suppose just put it in the email that it's only for personal gain. Ask for personal interpretation, but man, when those dreams go out, yes, they are such a blessing, and they've blessed us tremendously. Whenever we've read them, we're always excited when we hear there's a dream from you guys. So I agree with Claire's prayer as well, that you will no longer have back pain, and you will no longer feel condemned or rejected about it. And that the Lord will guide you in when to send a dream, and when you need an interpretation for it.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy. Okay. All right.
I think it would be a good idea to pray down the witchcraft, because, yeah, there has been a lot of witchcraft last couple weeks. I can feel it. I felt it this week. I felt it last week. So, seeing it at work.
All right, prayer down, brother.
All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for hearing our prayer on this. We know we're being attacked by the enemy pretty heavy these last few weeks, and we're all getting these personal things coming on us, and we're seeing things happen in our lives. So, Lord, we go against the enemy right now. We do not give you any authority over us. We cast down all your word curses on us. We cast down any assignment from the enemy. We cast any spirits of death or depression or unforgiveness. We cast down spirits of rejection. We cast down all these lying demons that are trying to come against us to destroy the body and cause confusion and trying to cause disruption and trying to get us to look at each other like we're the problem, when it's no, it's the enemy is sending this and doing this. It's not us. It's not each other, the body. It's the enemy. So we cast you off as you have no authority or right to talk to us in this body. And we cancel your assignment now. We bind you in the name of Jesus and tell you to go now. In the name of Jesus, go. Thank you, Father.
Amen. It is done in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for cleansing her of all unrighteousness. All these demons in Jesus' name are coming against her and talking to her. Praise you, Father. Amen. Yes, go ahead, Marilyn.
And there's just one more that came to me, is I cast out the spirit of faction trying to make her, to separate her from the body. Yeah. And to feel like she is separated from UBM and this fellowship. I cast down all the assignments against her and all of us in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And praise God, Father. I thank you that Jesus has given us authority over all serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise harm us. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. submit thyself unto the Lord, resist the enemy, and he will flee. So, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that it's Christ in us. It's Christ, our righteousness, the Spirit of Christ in us that strengthens us, that allows us, that gives us the grace and the strength and the courage to stand against these things and to trample them under our feet. And so, Lord, I thank you and praise you that all this torment is gone, and also any condemnation on Elena. We cast that out in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I would just pray an anointing of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us tonight.
Amen.
And that we are just, praise the Lord, strengthened in the inner man. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing in everybody. And the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in us and to make the word alive in us. And just to prepare us for this day and this hour for which we were born. That's why we're here. We live, we breathe, we exist for Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Father, I just praise you and I thank you for Elena, and I ask you to fill her with your joy, your peace, your rest, your comfort. Fill her with every part, every bit of the fruit of your spirit, Lord. Fill her with everything that she needs right now, which is just you, Lord. Get her eyes on you, Lord, and not on all that has come at her, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that the enemy is under her feet. And she is filled with your joy and your peace and rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, it is done, girl. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah for the victory, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, that she is free of all of this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Lord, we just ask that you bless everybody with a good night's sleep, those that will be sleeping here shortly. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And bless those who are just getting up to go ahead and have a fine, fine day. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?